wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's that time of the week where we get to go gallivanting with Gordon Goldsborough, or through Gordon Goldsborough, I say, as we discover abandoned Manitoba in our new summer edition. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
How do you like the sounds of that gallivanting with Gordon?
I gallivant. I do.
You do. But before we get on today's segment, you were just mentioning a funny little story. You got to meet someone.
Yeah. Well, of course, listeners recognize the theme music of Abandoned Manitoba, and it was a song recorded by an artist named Ashley Robertson. And last week, for the first time ever, I got to meet Ashley Robertson. It was just so cool. And I told her, you know, a lot of people associate your song with Abandoned Manitoba.
Oh. Please tell me you took a picture.
We did indeed.
I need to see that picture. That's adorable. Okay, I love that. Gordon, where are you taking us today?
Well, of course, the theme of this summer series is that we're going to various places in Manitoba and places where they have some sort of event, some kind of festival, and we tell them a little bit more about the history of the area, what places they can go and see in addition to going to the festival. So coming up next weekend is the Banana Days at Melitta, down in the southwestern corner of the province. And the banana part comes actually from the fact that there is a large, large, 33-foot-high banana on the outskirts of Melitta, which is apparently because someone way back started referring to Melitta as the banana belt of Manitoba. And apparently it was just because, weather-wise, it would sometimes be just a little bit warmer than everywhere else. So they have Sunny the Banana as their sort of town mascot, and so they have Banana Days. So I thought, well, let's go down there and see what we can see in the way of history in that area.
All right, so where are we starting first?
Well, let's start right in Melitta itself. Again, I've emphasized this numerous times to listeners. I'm really a big fan of schools, and oftentimes they're one-room schools. But in this case, we're talking about a much bigger school. Right in Melitta is the former Melitta Consolidated School, and it actually had 8 classrooms. So it's a big school. It's a 2-story brick building. And as far as I can tell, it is the oldest surviving school outside of Winnipeg. It was built in 1893. So, of course, most of the schools from that vintage are long gone. This one is still standing, and it's in remarkably good condition, mainly because I think it's still in use. It's used not as a school anymore, but as the local museum called the Antler River Museum. Well, the school itself is worth the visit, but the contents are just as worthy. They have a wonderful collection, for example, of Indigenous artifacts, one of the best I've seen anywhere in the province. They have a really large collection of tractor seats. And when I first thought of this, I thought, well, that's pretty eclectic.
Very niche.
Very niche. But apparently I'm told these are very rare tractor seats. So they've got a collection of photos of the surrounding area. They've got documents, school records from the various schools that operated. It is definitely worth seeing the Antler River Museum right in Melitta during your visit there.
I love those tiny little museums. I find them so charming and so informative as well.
They are. And sometimes they're not as well visited as they could be. And that's the thing. They are wonderful, wonderful facilities. And you just have to be willing to travel a little bit.
What else do you have for us, Gordon?
Well, let's stay in the school theme for just a moment more. And if you go west of Melitta, about 14 miles, you will encounter Eunola School. Now, I've talked again about one-room schoolhouses, and the vast majority of them are either gone or they're turned into somebody's home, or they're vacant. A lot of them, in fact, are just vacant, and they're really deteriorated. But this one, I remember when I first discovered it and I peeked in the window, I thought, is this school still in use? I mean, it had desks. The desks had books on them. The chalkboard still had things written on the boards. I thought, this must be a working school. No, it wasn't. Actually, it was just someone had taken the effort to make it look like it was in its heyday. It was remarkable. So it's almost like a little museum that somebody has preserved this little time capsule. I remember thinking, oh, this is so impressive. And I'd try the door just to see, and it was open. So, of course, I had to go inside and wander around, and they have these various signs on the walls that have information about the local community. There was books that had the local history. I mean, it was really just a nice little museum.
I love that you just happened upon that by chance. That's very special.
Well, that's often how I find things. More often than not, some of the best finds are things that I just find by complete luck.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's a real highlight. And I would encourage people to go and check out the Eunola School west of Melitta.
There's also a church that you're recommending. Which
yeah. Well, it turns out I hadn't noticed this when I was at Yonola School, but there is an organ in the school that actually came from something called Copley Anglican Church to the south there. It's a Copley Anglican is about 25 miles southwest of Melitta. In fact, it's not far from the borders. Now, this area, it's called the Municipality of Two Borders. And the reason it's called that is that we are close to the international border with North Dakota, but we're also very close to the interprovincial border with Saskatchewan. So two borders. And because of that proximity to borders, apparently during the Prohibition period, you probably remember Prohibition was that period when we tried to experiment with not having booze, basically.
Didn't work out so well.
And there were people who took advantage of that and they bootlegged. And so because apparently this church, and by the time Prohibition came around, the church had already been abandoned. It was built in the early 1890s and it was deconsecrated. It turned not into a church anymore within basically 20 years. And the bootleggers apparently used it as their sort of headquarters. So
of all places to use as headquarters for bootlegging.
Yeah, so I call it the sort of the bootleggers church. Now, unfortunately, it looks like it may have suffered a fire in the past and the wooden parts are gone, the roof and so on, but the walls are still visible. There's a little cemetery there. It's quite a remote place. You can imagine that the people who settled there were really sort of kind of far away from everything.
Do we know when that was built?
It was built between 1890 and 1892, but it was, say, deconsecrated in as early as 1913.
Okay.
So basically 20 years.
Which other places did you manage to visit when you were on there?
Well, there, north of Melitta, there is the little ghost town of Broomhill. And frankly, Broomhill was never a big metropolis at all. It was probably not much more than a few shops, a few houses, and so on. The last remnants of Broomhill is a general store. And of course, every town at one time had at least one general store. They sold everything, right? They had groceries, they had hardware, they had clothes, you name it. And this was a general store. It had on the main floor, it's a two-story building. It had the shop, basically, where they would sell everything. And you peek in the window and you can still see the cubbies, the shelves where they would store all the merchandise. On one end, they had a garage and sort of an agricultural implements dealer. And then up above, on the top floor, they had residences. People who maybe wanted to stay in Broomhill for a period of time, they could rent the residences up top. So it operated from about 1908 when it was built up to 1964, and that's kind of when it ended. And that's probably when the town of Broomhill kind of met its end, too. The building got sold, and it's been standing vacant for what looks like quite a long time.
But you can still see some of the insides?
Yeah, the windows are gone. Somebody has seen fit to break the windows. But you can peek in the windows, and you can, say, get a sense of what the old general stores would have looked like. So it's in great shape, the building, structurally, because it's made out of concrete, building.
Okay, one more pick.
Okay, well, if you go south of Melitta, you'll come into a region that is actually described as having the largest concentration of ancient burial mounds anywhere in Canada. So if you go back hundreds to thousands of years, of course, Indigenous people traveling across the plains, they would often follow the bison herds. And during the spring migration, they would pass through this area. And so apparently, now this is according to Dr. Lee Sims, who was an archaeologist at the Manitoba Museum. He's now retired, but he did quite a bit of work in this area, and he speculated that this was where the people that were migrating following the bison would bury the people who had died over the winter. And so there are numerous of these burial mounds in the Surisford area, as they call them.
When you say burial mounds, what do you mean?
Well, they're not elaborate, huge things. They're not sort of standing taller than you. In fact, if you were not really looking for them, you might just ignore them altogether. They're fairly modest, but once you notice them, you can see that they're not natural. They're something that has been put there. And there are some interpretive signs that give you sort of a sense of what they're about. But one thing I do have to emphasize is that there is some concern. Because although this is a national historic site, it's been designated nationally as significant, there is concern about the possibility that people, now I'm sure not our listeners, but there are some people who would desecrate these graves, who would go and try to find souvenirs. And that's just reprehensible. But there is some concern about that. But there are interpretive signs. There are signs that direct you to where you can find some of these burial mounds. I would simply ask people to be respectful when they go to visit.
Gordon, thank you so much for taking us on this tour of the Banana Belt. i.e. Melida. I really appreciate it. Where are we going next week?
Well, next week we're going to travel along something called the Boreal Shores Art Tour. It's a tour of eastern Manitoba where you get to sort of meet local artists of that area. I thought, why not we combine art with history?
Sounds great. Going to look forward to it. Thanks so much.
See you next week.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.